You know, they say the past is a good teacher, but a lousy judge. Now, what does this mean? It means that whatever happened in your past, maybe there might be some regrettable things. Maybe you did some things that were not particularly the best decisions. You made some decisions that weren't particularly the best, or you didn't perform as well as you know you could have. Now, a lot of people dwell on that. They dwell on that past, and they keep sort of replaying it back and forth in their heads. And when they come up to me for advice, and you'll see it in my social media comments also, you'll see it on the TikToks, in the comments, you'll see it in my emails, in the conversations that I have, that they are so burdened by that past mistakes. They are so overcome and overwhelmed that it's impossible for them to drop that and move forward. When I speak to these people, I can almost envision a person trying to climb a steep incline with a huge boulder tethered to them. And as they're trying to climb, every time they take one step or two steps or three steps, that thing brings them back. Again they go, it brings them back. They can't seem to get rid of that. They have regrets. They wish they could go back and not do those things, or go back and change those things. Now, one of my favorite movies of all time was Back to the Future, where Marty McFly goes to the back to the past and he changes everything, and then he comes back and his present is the most wonderful life he can imagine. His parents are transformed from geeky nerds that are being bullied to very wealthy people. He's got the car of his dreams, got the girl of his dreams. I wish we could have a time machine that could take us back and help us to fix everything. But then again, if you think about it, what is the point of having this machine and going back and really trying to fix everything? One thing you fix, something else breaks. That's the world we're living in. It's a world of imperfection. It's a world where we thrive on imperfection. There is no such thing as a perfect scenario. Even if you sit down now and you write down from the day you were born up till today, up till this present moment, everything, every single thing you could have done right at school, post-school, maybe at university, after university, you might come up with an idealistic picture, but you don't understand something. Those people who think like that and who regret the past too much and who really hold on to it, they don't realize one thing. It's that the person you are today is a result of all those past experiences. Without those past experiences, you couldn't have been who and what you are right now. And that made you into a unique individual. For better or worse, it made you into a unique individual. Otherwise, imagine if every single person went and they wrote their past like this. And this seems idealistic, right? That you went to school, from day one at school, you were the ideal student. You got A's in everything you did. You worked hard until you got there. And then you were a top-notch sports person. You went through school like that as a top A student and a top sports person. Then you went to university, you excelled at everything, never made any mistakes, never did anything wrong, never smoked, never took drugs, never ate anything unhealthy, went and never got into that bad relationship. You know what we would be if everybody lived like that? Everybody's life was as they imagined what it should be. We would be robots. We would be just clones in a meaningless, drab, dreary world where everybody is just uniform like robots going through the motions in life. But it's those bad decisions that actually made us the people we were. And you know, I came across a very interesting story where somebody, a reporter, was speaking to a billionaire. I don't know if it really happened, but it's a good story. The reporter was speaking to the billionaire and said that, you know, he asked the billionaire, how did you get where you are? He said, through experience. And the billionaire said, I mean, the reporter asked the billionaire, how did you get this experience? He said, through making the right decisions. And how did you get the right decisions? And he said something very important after that. Listen, he said, by learning from my bad decisions. So every time I made a bad decision, I knew what was a bad decision. I knew what I didn't need to do. And that showed me what was the right decision to make. It's like you're traveling through a maze, right? Now, as you travel through that maze, you might take a wrong turn. But then when you took that wrong turn, you reached the end of it, you saw it was a dead end, you came back. And then you took another turn. And you probably marked that one off with a stone and said, well, okay, I'm not going to go here anymore. Now, how did you know that was a bad decision? Because you took that path. You made that decision. You went that way. And it showed you that that was a bad decision. And then you... So there might be three or four wrong paths to go down. And by going down each one, you are marking them off, either mentally or physically. That's a truck. I'm actually recording this outdoors. It's where I love to be, right? But it's not the most appropriate place to record a podcast. Nonetheless, there's a truck here. I'm going to let it pass. In case you're wondering, I'm in the south coast of KwaZulu-Natal, one of the most beautiful places in the world. Staying here for a few weeks, having a holiday, well, a working holiday, and getting a chance to use my camera, take some beautiful photos. Beautiful, beautiful place. Okay, so we're talking about that maze. So by going down the wrong paths, you are identifying which are not the right ways to go. And so you, in doing that, by the process of elimination, you know which is the right path to go down. And if you have to do that maze a second time, then it would be almost a linear path for you from start to end, because you've got the experience, you know, oh, not there, not there, not there, this is the road to go. Now, life is like that. Sometimes we learn through other people's experiences when they advise us, and a lot of times we learn through our own experiences, and there's nothing wrong with that. Those could be bad experiences. But what do we do? What do we do when we make a bad decision? What do we do when we find ourselves in a hole because we did something that was less than appropriate, that we made a decision that wasn't good? I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll tell you what I learned when I went to prison. What? Yes, I really did go to prison, but not in the way you think. I wasn't a criminal or anything. I didn't get locked up. I used to go to prison for 2 years because I was a chaplain. So in the town I was living, it was Empangeni in northern KwaZulu-Natal, there wasn't a religious head to go and sort of teach the Muslim inmates what they, you know, to just teach them stuff. And so I was nominated for that. And so I used to go weekly and sit down and speak to them, hear out their stories. You know, one of the things they say is never ask an inmate what you're in for. So I never did. But I could see that some of them they did some serious crimes. I got from the hints, like Grand Theft Auto. No one that I interacted with had done anything worse than that, like murder or anything. But no matter, they did crime, and now they're doing time, and they have lots and lots of regrets. So when I used to speak to them, and some of them used to tear, they should really, you know, to see these big-sized, burly guys with tattoos and things just breaking down and crying. tears in their eyes and everything. It was a very touching experience. So, but then they had these regrets. And one of the things I kept on hearing over and over from them was, if only I could go back and not do what I did. If only I could turn back time and be in that place and time where I made that decision. That decision was mine. I can't, now looking back, I can't blame anyone. I can't blame my upbringing or my parents or my society or everything. At that precise moment, the decision to do that crime that landed me here was my decision. I could have not done it. I could have resisted the peer pressure. I could have stood up to the threats, and I could have avoided doing that crime and finding me in the place, myself in the place that I am. So I told them the same thing that I'm telling you. You wish you could, but you can't. So what is the next best thing? What is the best thing right now? The best thing right now is to use the past as a teacher, but not a judge. Don't ever judge yourself based on what you did in the past, but learn from it. Learn from those mistakes. Learn from the mistakes you made. Learn from the experiences that you had, both positive and negative, but don't ever judge yourself based on that, because then you will drive yourself into the ground, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. You will be finished. You won't have the willpower to do anything. That's how powerful the past is, if you will let it be. But we make it into a teacher, and a good, solid teacher it is. What did I learn from my past? That bad decision that I made, I chose to start smoking under peer pressure because everybody else was doing it, so I decided, let's do it. Or despite everybody's advice, despite my parents' advice, I got into that relationship with that person. And I got stung. What did I learn? I learned to take advice. I learned to be careful about the company I keep. I learned that peer pressure shouldn't be a force that I allow to overcome me and allow me to make bad decisions. I learned that when you get into a relation, when you are getting into a relationship, be a little more careful. Screen the person out a little more carefully. I'm not going to get into relationship advice. So this is very, very crucial, that the past is the past. It happened. Now we look towards the future. But don't ever forget the lessons of the past. Because they say those that forget the lessons of the past are doomed to repeat those mistakes. So keep those lessons close to heart, but become impassionate about it. And I learned this from my parents in a very, very, very significant way. And I'll tell you about it. When I was finishing grade 12 and about to go into university, that was a very rough year for my parents financially, because through bad decisions, bad mistakes, trusting the wrong people, etc., my parents found themselves in like serious financial difficulties. And it went quite bad, to the extent we lost everything. They lost everything, businesses, the home that we just built, we lost that. We didn't even live in it. It was ready to move in, but the banks foreclosed on all that. And basically, they were left high and dry. Now, what did they do at that point? Let's contrast that with what would happen with normal couples. With normal couples, and I'm not judging anybody for this, but that level of intense pressure, financial pressure and stress, will cause stress in the relationships. It'll cause the husband and wife to start bickering with each other and, you know, taking out their stress and frustration on each other, blaming each other. If this happened to you, it's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. But the lesson I learned from my parents is that my dad just picked up as if nothing had happened. He went, he borrowed some stocks from another family member. He went out, he found a new business, new premises, and he got operating. He started running a new business. And within a year, within 2 years, they had built up again. I was, even in that time, I was what, like 18 years old. I was truly impressed at what my parents did, what they achieved. They didn't sit back and cry and regret. They didn't sit back and feel sorry for themselves or turn against each other. They said, well, look, we are in this situation. We are in this hole now. Best thing we can do for ourselves and for the children, let's dig ourselves out of it. And they dug. They worked so hard, I'd never seen them working. My mom used to travel 100 kilometers on her own just to get to business when my dad couldn't make it. So that is a lesson, the kind of lesson that I grew up with. And I found myself in lots of situations, more than most people, lots of situations where I found myself like just high and dry. In 2015, 2016, the partnership I had gotten into with my business completely collapsed. And I walked away with nothing. No, wait, I did walk away with something, with debts from that partnership, from that business. That was the previous iteration of IT Varsity. Now, at that point, it was a good, crucial point for me to reflect on my parents' lives. And so what we did was, within, I wouldn't even say weeks, within days, I had started CompuKids, and we started teaching coding at schools. And within weeks, we were making as much money that as I was making, well, I was getting a salary from my business. And that sailed us well into the next couple of years, and that led into IT Varsity Online coming about. Because when we were teaching at the schools, a lot of parents requested, from out of town, requested that we make online courses, and we started making those. And that practice that we got there enabled me to focus on IT Varsity Online. So we built a learning management system, we built the courses, we built the curriculum, we got ourselves reaccredited, and we got going. Had I not done that, had I hung back, you know, and let those regrets overpower me, and thought to myself, well, I am just pathetic, I'm useless, I'm this, I'm that. How could I let myself get into that partnership? How could I this and how could I that? And sort of dwell on it, maybe take a menial job because that's all I could do. Where would I be today? But I took my parents' advice. I let the past be a teacher, not a judge. And one of the things I learned, and I'm not saying this is true for everyone, but for me, I made a firm resolve that I will never take investor funding again. I will never. Because it just didn't work out, and I know the reasons why it didn't work out. Because there was a misalignment of what each party thought was important. One party was being business people, they thought money was more important. For me, quality was more important because that's how I was brought up. And so I ran the business from then on. It was tough. Without funding, it is tough. But I ran the business thanks to my mentors, thanks to those people that gave me advice. And we built it up in the way that I wanted to build it up. And today, IT Varsity is precisely the business that I want it to be. I couldn't design a better IT Varsity than what I have now. We are not chasing money. We are not chasing the numbers. We are not chasing, like one of my investors used to say, the bums on the seats. Put the bums on the seats. That's not me. We are in the business of changing lives, not putting bums on seats, not looking at that bank account. We are in the business of transforming South Africa and transforming Africa through technology, through tech education, through entrepreneurship, tech entrepreneurship. That's why I'm in this. Somebody asked me the other day, what would you do if you got R1 billion for IT Varsity and you didn't have to work? I love that question. If I didn't have to work, you know what I'd do? I teach people to code and I teach people how to become entrepreneurs using technology. Tech entrepreneurship, basically. What am I doing today? I teach people to code and I teach people tech entrepreneurship. Now that is a gift from above, if you ask me, because my personal passion and my business are perfectly aligned. And I'm working with some of the best people I have ever worked with in my life. Right now, I have a team that I'm so happy with and so proud of that I've never had this before. But it all came because of, at that moment, when I lost everything, I didn't let the past hold me back, like a rock. I cut it. I said, well, what happened, happened. There's no way I can go back and fix that. But I learned some valuable lessons, and so I moved on. And here I am today. So what do you do? What do you need to do? When you find yourself in that situation where you are regretting the past, where you feel like it's holding you back, number one, first thing you need to do is cut it out. Stop letting it, and this is an act of willpower. This is not some external force that's going to come and help you. It has to come from in you. Have that self-talk with yourself and say to yourself, remind yourself actually, that the past is a good teacher but a bad judge. Don't let it judge you. Don't let it hold you, but learn from it. Second, be careful what kind of company you are keeping. I know you hear this a lot. It might sound like a cliche, but the people who you surround yourself with are going to make you or break you. They are those who are going to remind you of that past, either directly or indirectly. There are even some who will hold it against you and say, you failed in the past, and so you are going to fail in the future. There are people that will do that to you. Move away. Find a new group of people to surround yourself with. Two. Three. Make a decision, take a step. Now, what does this mean? It sounds a bit wishy-washy and vague. It's this. A lot of times, we want to make a move. We want to make a decision, but we get stuck now between two, three, four decisions. For example, you want to start a YouTube channel, and you're thinking, should I do it like this, and should I do it like that, and should I do it? Listen to me. Pick one. Throw a dice. Pick one and run with it. It could be a right decision, or it could be a wrong decision. If it's a right decision, yay, you made it. If it's a wrong decision, yay, you know what is a wrong decision, what not to do. So out of the four options you had, you strike off one, finish, move on. So that's the second thing. That's the third thing. Make some move. You know, this is maybe not the most appropriate example, but you know, doctors will tell you, if you're a person who suffers from constipation regularly, what they tell you is every day at a certain time, go and sit in the toilet. If you just not sit in the toilet and you think about it, well, I'm constipated, nothing will happen. But if you condition your mind every day to go and sit at the toilet, then at some point you will get some movement. Not a very pleasant example, but it's a damn good example. Take some action. Don't sit back and just think about it, overthink it. For example, if you want to start a healthy diet, take some action. If you're drinking 4 glasses of soft drinks a day, cut it down to 3. If you want to become fit, do 10 push-ups today. Now, this present moment. Just get down and do 10 push-ups. That is your first step. That is the procrastination broken, destroyed. And that is your first step into that new life, a journey of 1,000 miles. So take some action, any action. And number 5, get a mentor. Get somebody who is the person you aspire to be. The best option is to find somebody physical that you can go and sit in front of. Failing which, find somebody who can talk to you or you can talk to them virtually. WhatsApp calls. Can't get that? Go online, go on YouTube, look for the dozens and dozens of intelligent people that are making videos and that are making content. Listen to them, read their books, understand what they are saying and how it applies to you. Now, me, I personally had a combination of all that. I had mentors who I could go and sit with physically. Up till today, I still got that. And then I had mentors who I would just text them, and they would give me a response. Then I had mentors who I just, I never met them or ever spoken to them, but I watched their videos, I listened to their podcasts, I read their books, and they've benefited me quite a bit. And the sixth one, sixth step, and I'll conclude on this. Broaden your mind by learning. Become a lifelong learner. Pick up a book and start reading, or listen to beneficial podcasts like this one, or listen to audiobooks. Start growing your mind, because part of the reason you are stuck is because you don't have the knowledge to guide you on what's the way forward. For example, if you want to become a software developer, you've never coded before, you've had minimal experience with a computer. So how do you expect yourself to know anything? How do you expect yourself to know which direction to go in? First step, go and do a tutorial, read a book, watch a YouTube video. Then things will start opening up to you. You want to become fit? Read up something about it. Watch some videos about it. See what I'm getting at? The knowledge. So if you follow these six steps, you will gradually, and I'm saying gradually, right? Be careful what I'm saying here. Listen carefully. I'm saying gradually you will come out of the situation you're in. It's not going to happen overnight. Don't let anybody tell you that there's a hack for this and a hack for that. Those people themselves are hacks. Anybody that gives you life hacks for this, or marketing hacks, or fitness hacks, or dieting hacks, stay away from them. Person who tells you this is going to happen with consistent effort, that person you should probably listen to. And those people that oversimplify things, right? So I went on a journey recently around fitness and health and proper diet. Then you'll get those people that oversimplify. They say, just leave out meat, you should be fine. Others will say, just leave out breakfast, you should be fine. Others will say, eat one meal a day, you'll be fine. You'll lose weight, you'll pick up muscle, blah, blah, blah. Are we really that simple as human beings? Or are we more complex beings than that? Do we not need a balance in our lives, a balanced diet, a balanced life with all the aspects? Is everything, is there not some benefit that comes out of meat or out of vegetables or out of whole grain? So those people that give those that kind of advice, just stay away from them. I don't want to disparage other people. I don't want to do that. But I also want to speak to you and safeguard you as my listener, as the person viewing this, from falling into bad advice or falling into some kind of problem where you go down the line and you say, well, I went on this fruitarian diet. Believe me, that is a thing. This fruitarian diet, and now I'm malnourished. I'm weak all the time. I'm lethargic all the time, and I can't do anything for myself. So whatever the field of life is, any aspect of life, relationship, fitness, health, career, anything, remember that it takes more than just a few hacks to be a true success. And if you are ready to put in the effort and the sacrifice, you will get there. And I might be making it sound a lot more scary than it is, but it's not. Just remember what I always tell you guys, better every day. Just a little bit every day. Like I said, 4 glasses of soft drink, cut it down to 1. A week later, cut it down to 3. A week later, cut it down to 2. A week later, cut it down to... You'll see your mind is slowly and your body is slowly adjusting to it. Till a point comes where I am at right now, I cannot stand the taste of soft drinks. When I drink a soft drink, if I take a sip, I can taste those chemicals in it. It's absolutely disgusting to me. And I can taste that sugar or whatever they put in there, whatever sweetness they put in there. So your body will initially resist, and your mind, and then it'll come to terms with it, and eventually it'll enter into a phase where it becomes a part of you. So with those few words, I will leave it at that. Thank you so much for listening.